Year's bread has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's Live Full report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabread.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Sirius XM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour three, thanks to Tony Alivato earlier, Sean Clancy, and Tony Black. We're gonna actually have John Adger is going to join us. And one more appreciation of Mrs. Abercrombie. I have got to mention a story that Leslie Knopf just sent me. You know, we had that reference Tony made to difficulty on air travel with a horse, and Leslie relayed a what I guess when it comes to equestrian, the equestrian circles is well known, a story involving an Olympic event horse named Markham that was en route to the 64 Olympics in Tokyo and had to be put down in air. So in terms of what Tony was talking about, he apparently had a difficult van ride and was all worked up and in the air kicked and punched a hole in the fuselage. Unbelievable story here. I'd never heard this. And they had to make the plane made an emergency landing in Chicago. It kind of threw things, obviously, into a bit of a chaotic scenario for the equestrian team. This goes, I've never seen this. You know, sometimes, you know, there's certain things like this, story like this, that you might come across. And actually, this does remind me, talking about air travel, to get that update that we had referenced about, you know, the Tex Sutton situation and how difficult it was, going back to Breeders' Cup to get to California to book the travel and so forth. Crazy. It is amazing when you think about it. You know, that a horse that are, you know, high strung anyway, I mean, it's tough enough to get them sometimes into a van, let alone boarding an airplane, you know, with the cramped quarters. And that's why they got the box stall, so that they It's a little, I guess, easier to load them that way. This is definitely worth a segment. I'm going to imagine, because it's so commonplace now, right? Putting the horse on the plane and flying him across country. So interesting. Casey's trying to reach John Adger, and I should also note, we'll see if Nick has got one of those Sharpie plays of the day. That was a funny aside yesterday with the Sharpie show. I guess I do see a tweet from Trey Styles. I'll give you a rundown on this for those that are excited about Nick's presence so familiar to, certainly to our audience, and having him involved at SHRP. But last couple of years, we've kind of ridden along during the season. Trey Styles, you can follow Trey at ride_that_pony. Ride that pony with two underscores. Follow Trey. I mentioned yesterday that Martha Clausen. Martha is, as just her name, Martha Clausen with two S's, Clausen. Of course, Mary Rampolini will do the DRF coverage, and Jessica Parkett as well. So you should be well suited to attack the Sam Houston season. I ended up not putting anything on paper. Tina has to take me to the cardiologist so after the show, so I knew that I was going to be unavailable late afternoon to address anything and get the Sam Houston action out. But the good news is that Gus has looked at it. So Gus will have the late pick five, as well as Gulfstream action for you. And Gus had a couple of good opinions. The results, I know Sam at Tampa were a little on the chalky side yesterday. There was one big price. Was it a Gulfstream? It was, I think, like a 60-1 shot. Was it Gulfstream or Tampa yesterday? I just sort of saw the $120 flash past my eyes on the screen, looking down. As we effort John, let me give you a little bit of a look ahead to the weekend. It's a fairly quiet weekend. Santa Anita's got the graded stake action both days. The Santa Ynez on Saturday, the grade two. These are three-year-old fillies and getting things going, 7/8. And it's kind of fun, actually, that you get to look at a group at here at and they're seven-horse field from seven different outfits. They're the occasion pretty regularly has been, a lot of, the big barns dominating the entry box, but you got a little everything here under the stars from Baffert and Coolmore. Dan Blacker's got the Big Shamrock, Sadler, Big Switch, the Krikorian, Jonathan Wong, Mimijune, Kyle Fry going to ride. Doug O'Neill has got one for Mr. Redham, Awake at Midnight, Mario Gutierrez, of course, and Bob Hess with Miss Maddie B, Mike Smith aboard for Westlake. So interesting group in the Santa Ynez. They'll draw the Las Cienegas today. the grade three. The other graded stake on the weekend, we'll talk to Mike Welch. Tomorrow, the Tropical Turf. Nice card at Gulfstream, it looks like, for Saturday. Just the one graded stake in the Tropical Turf, the mile. And fair group of familiar faces, including Largent from Todd with Louis Saez, Clear Vision, Matt O'Connor, and good old Fat Man. How old is Fat Man now? 8 years old. Kent Sweezy. Sean Bridgman, born. Value Proposition for Chad and Seth Klarman, of course, with IRAD. IRAD back riding this week. Flying Scotsman, Jack Sisterson for Calumet. Corey Lannery is riding, he's kind of feels like he's taking selective amount of calls. Call Kurt Juanavia with Junior Alvarado, who's had, I think, Junior, who had a very difficult summer fall, it seemed, really has come alive down in Florida this winter. And then Belgrano for Frank Russo and Edgar aboard. So field is seven in the Tropical Turf, but there's a nice mix of action at Gulfstream. So if you haven't looked at that card, New York, just a couple of New York bred stakes this weekend after last week's Jerome. You got the Safe Florida Sandy, where Lobster, in fact, Lobster and Chowda are both running on Saturday. We only got into one race. We were hoping to get into both races with both Kid Chocolate and Scherzando, but the Scherzando maiden race didn't go. So hopefully it goes for Sunday. And we'll see. I don't know if we're going to go down overnight, or we'll see. We'll see what we're going to do. I think there's a chance we, this is assuming everything that goes okay today with the cardiologist. But the Safe Florida Sandy, something of another meeting between Lobster and my boy Tate. Chestertown in there too, the expensive West Point New York bred from the Asmussen barn. And they'll draw the Rego Park today. You've got, what else? Friday and Saturday at Delta, the Orleans and the Samstown. And at Turfway, you got the preview. For those of you that are playing Turfway, the cards have been just absolutely chock full. If you like the synthetic action, I'm sure you're teeing it up in Florence, because the fields have just been. I mean, Tyler Picklesheimer's got obviously the luxury of a full backstretch, and fold in the training facilities in proximity, and the racing has been very good at Turfway. The preview, you're looking at 3 year olds going 6.5, and you got a field of nine. An interesting melange of horses coming together, including Ravelli with Nobles. Ravelli, some character. So they're kind of a little bit of a quiet weekend, stakes-wise anyway. Case is, Case, you're striking out, huh? With John. All right, maybe we'll package a John Adger and Donnie Kay together for Mrs. Abercrombie. All right? All right, so yeah, Case, if you can't, if it doesn't look like it, then all right, we'll head for Rich Ang then, and we'll get Rich in. Because, it's now getting to be 2025. Yeah, okay. Yeah, don't, go ahead. That's all right. Yeah, that's not, obviously, that's not gonna come together. So we'll get, I do want John, though, to visit. Let me update a piece of news from yesterday that another sentencing in the variety of decisions, I guess. How do you call or sentencing aspects? Dr. Ryan, Christian Ryan, 3 years for his part in the Navarro slash service cases. And the judge, this Mary Kay Viscoso, very, very much pointed in her remarks about the seriousness and, the degree in which in this case a veterinarian would put horses in harm's way potentially with these actions. So this continues, and there's a few more of the various cases to be handed down in terms of sentencings. And of course, something of a delay for the service portion because of the ambient conditions in regard to COVID, in terms of the service is not pleading guilty. He's going to fight it in court. But these dominoes continue to fall. Rich Eng is standing by, and so we say Happy New Year, Rich Eng.
Hey, good morning, Steve, and I guess a belated Happy New Year to you and your family, your friends, and all the listeners out there and at the races.
I appreciate it, and we did talk. I think we slipped you in before we went on the holiday mm-hmm. break. What was Vegas? What was the Vegas Christmas New Year's like? What did you travel or did you stay home?
No, I stayed home, and I'm going to show my age because on New Year's Eve, Sandy and I were asleep before the fireworks at midnight off the tops of eight casino hotel rooftops on the Strip. We were snoring by then, Steve.
is that typical that they do that every year in Vegas off the roofs of hotels?
Yeah, I forget how far back it started, but someone germinated the idea that it would be a spectacular-looking fireworks show. We used the roofs of these, 30, 40-story buildings.
Yeah.
And it's really actually kind of spectacular when you see it from, like, an airplane or helicopter or, a high hill or mountain or something, and you see all the fireworks from the eight different hotels. I know a couple of the hotels have changed over the years, but I believe they added Circa this year, so there was a downtown hotel. But it's really quite a show. I mean, it's not just one spectacular fireworks like you see in most major cities. It's at the rooftops of eight casinos, and it's just a show. It's a show of shows. It's typical Vegas, Steve. They don't settle for the norm. They always have to go and push the envelope and go for the spectacular.
That's nice. It's funny you mentioned the way in which it's captured by video. The one that July 4th, when there's I guess it's, I'm going to assume it's television news helicopters in LA in particular, is amazing. And of course, these days with the drone coverage, the virtually anybody can become a videographer for that kind of thing with their own, little drone operated camera. But it is pretty cool when you see them coming up all over the place. That there was a really cool one this past July 4th from LA that I I was kind of captivated by. And, you know, some of it is municipalities setting off fireworks, and others, you know, are people, you know, with their own backyard, fireworks.
You know, that's a really good point. I I'm fairly active on Twitter, but I did not see any local footage from drones, and it would be spectacular if you get the drones like going in and out of the, or you know, around the level, the height level of these fireworks. But you can maneuver those drones and get some incredible photography. So, but I haven't seen any of it. There must be something out there, though, for sure.
Now you're going to make me either way. I can't today because I got to go to the doctor. But I'm going to maybe actually while I'm in the car driving, Tina's going to drive me to the cardiologist. So maybe I'll dig up. There's got to be some footage. Well, you know, Rich, I'm glad Vegas came up in this conversation right away, because it's unbelievable to me that we're going to be back in now less than 3 weeks.
I know. I've already, you know, started doing the groundwork, because, you know, I run the Daily Racing Form office here in Las Vegas. So we're a co-sponsor, Daily Racing Form, and we supply the racing forms gratis to all the contest players. And so I'm getting my ducks in a row and getting my boxes checked off. But I'm looking forward to seeing everybody. I guess I heard a number. It's going to be close to 600 participants, something like that. But you know, we'll have papers for everybody for sure. And I just can't wait to see you and all the other people that I know, and I want to meet a lot of new ones. If people do see me walking around the room, I'll be in the room all 3 days. But if you're listening out there and you're a participant, you see me walking around, I'm the Chinese guy. There's not too many of us in the room. So you can't confuse me with somebody else. But would love to have you just come up and say hello. I'd love to meet as many people as possible, newcomers or new people to me anyway, Steve. In that ballroom over at Bally's in a couple of weeks.
Well, in fact, I heard from Pete yesterday. Pete is going to come out to Vegas, so we'll have a ton of coverage. And Pete and you, and I'm sure we'll get team Who Day with Bobby and John Hurd and the champ Mike Paycheck, and we'll get Scotty McKeever to come and join us again. That was really, as always, it's amazing how that, you know, that 3 days comes together, and how much fun it is, and people love it. We handicap, we play, we cover the tournament as it unfolds, and it writes its own script, and it's different every time. I mean, we know what the core principle is, obviously, and the format, but yet it's different. It's always fresh and always exciting. And last year was just crazy. I mean, that was as thrilling a finish as you could possibly produce.
Yeah, that was a spectacular tournament and a spectacular finish. And I really enjoyed meeting and being on air with the Scotty McKeever and the Shoe. And I tell you what, the third day in particular was so strong that if people around the country were listening to At the Races, the coverage of the final day and the stretch run of the final table, I mean, that was really, you know, I don't want to pat myself on the back or you on the back or the other's too hard, but you really got the flavor of what was going on in the room, and there were some really strong plays actually given out during the course of that third day. I mean, there
always
were a lot of horses that were given out that ran great at great prices. So I mean, people should listen all 3 days for sure on the radio for your coverage, Steve. But that third day in particular, what a strong stretch run. And I love meeting Scotty, and I love meeting Shu. And, of course, having a chance to see you in person all 3 days was so much fun. And there were some other guests that, you know, that were so fantastic. So
always,
I can't stress enough for your listeners to if you could spend a part of your day during that NHC to listen in, that would be, it'd be well worth it.
Well, we'll get out there. I go out Tuesday, I'm just, yeah, I get out Tuesday, so we'll be, we'll do the show regular, you know, the regular show Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and the NHC coverage starts on Friday afternoon and goes through Sunday. So the one key is going to be I'm coming straight to Vegas, Rich, and I don't know if it's going to make it better so that I can ideally not deal with the throat problem that is that has dogged me at least twice in the last four visits. So I or three visits, give or take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what the medical remedy for it is.
Either do I.
you know, but yeah, that was tough on you. You were a real trooper last year because you were losing your voice. You were doing the best you could, and you hung in there right to the end. You did a fantastic job, Steve, under difficult circumstances.
Duress. I've got to add, Rick Hammerly just sent me a note because something cropped up on the internet too, Rich, that we have got to cover. That is just crazy. I know Rick will bring it up tomorrow too. Rick put out a picture of a bunch of buttons, mostly sports, you know, mostly sports related. And he asked everybody pick the four to keep and he's going to give away the rest. Well, one of the buttons that he had was from the 1988 Riverfront Stadium All-Star Game. And Rick and I have discussed it in the past that I was there as well. And for those that remember how they did it, I don't think they do this anymore. They might do a certain number of tickets, but you could send in self-addressed stamped envelopes, and they were going to have a random drawing, I think, for 10,000 tickets. And I sent in like 10 or 12 envelopes, and you could only do one per person, but all my friends and all my buddies in my baseball league, I put one in for each of us. So I put in, I think, 10. And sure enough, I ended up winning two of them. So I got the chance to buy two sets of tickets. Actually, my friend Rick Deluski, who lives in Cincinnati, Rick, the entry that I put under his name, he won. So he got a mailing and said, you've won two tickets, the right to buy two tickets. Well, anyway, Hammer and I discovered, you know, in the last few years that we were both at that 88 All-Star game. And through the courtesy of the internet, it turns out you were there too.
Oh, absolutely, because, you know, I follow both you and I follow Rick, and I love following your tweets and your what you put out there. But when I saw that, you know, dialogue between you two, and I saw the picture that Rick put up of all the buttons in the Cincinnati All-Star game, I had to tweet you guys that I was there at that game. And here's the background of me being there, Steve, is the fact that in 1988, at that point in my life, I was the public relations director at Turfway Park in Florence, right, Kentucky. And believe it or not, a lot of Cincinnati Bengals, a lot of Cincinnati Reds used to come out to the races all the time. So
sure.
I got the chance to meet a lot of the athletes. But the backstory of how Sandy and I went to the game was the fact that the beer distributor for Turfway Park contract at the time was Miller Brewing, Miller Beer Company. So they were our sole distributor for the beer. And Miller was one of the sponsors with the Reds in the All-Star game. So the fellow Frank Seno, who ran the Miller Brewing operation in Northern Kentucky and Cincinnati, invited me and Sandy to the All-Star game.
Wow.
And before the game, there was a sponsored luncheon. At the stadium, they had an area where, you know, you could go in and get something to eat and sit at a table before you went to your seats. So, you know, Sandy and I go to the ballpark, Riverfront Stadium, and we're having a nice lunch. It was served buffet style. And the table had like six seats, and the other four were quite frankly open at the time. And this tall gentleman comes over to the table, and in a real husky voice says, "Would you mind if I sit down and join you?" And, you know, I had my head down. I was burrowed, you know, into the food, you know, stuffing my face. And I look up, and, you know, I'm a big sports fan, big baseball fan. And I drop my fork. It's Sparky Lyle, the ex-Yankee and Red Sox. And if you folks wonder why, like, a Sparky Lyle was at the game, you remember Miller Beer back in those days had those commercials with the ex-athletes. And, you know, promoting a Miller Lite, you know, great taste, less filling, that kind of stuff. Sparky was one of the guys in the commercials. So he was at the All-Star game, and, you know, on behalf of Miller. And so he sits down with me and Sandy, and he could not have been more friendly, more funny. Because, you know, when I told him, you know, my background and how big a sports fan I was and the Cy Young, the Sayonara story, he was cracking up over that because that was about Sparky Lyle winning the Cy Young Award, and then before you know it, he got traded.
Yeah,
that was the Sayonara part. But he was just so gracious and so fun. He shared a lot of stories. it was thrilling. It was a thrill before the game. And but you know, bottom line, I was at that same All Star game with you guys, and here we are, you know, finally getting a chance to know each other through the horse racing industry and meeting one another. And so it's a small world, Steve. It's a very small world, I guess.
It's too funny. We had so much fun. I had lived in Cincinnati for 2.5 years before I went to Kansas City, and I was living in Kansas City at that time, and brought my girlfriend at the time, Janice, who was a aerobics instructor at the Athletic Club of Overland Park, which was a pretty sumptuous gym, essentially, and she did the aerobics classes, and there were tons of Royals and Chiefs, and at the time even the Kansas City Kings, that lived down toward Overland Park and Shawnee Mission, and you know, all in those suburbs. And so Jan knew had a circle before I started, you know, before we started to go out, you know, she had a circle of friends that were pro athletes. And so when we came back to Cincinnati for that All-Star game, we stayed at the Hyatt, which turned out to be where all the players were. Mm-hmm. So I think it must have been the Sunday night, Monday, whatever it was, whenever everybody was. It must have probably been Monday. You know, she knew George Brett for a long time. Brett was an All-Star. David Cohn was a rookie All-Star. And, you know, Cohn was, it was his, I'm pretty sure it was his first year. And he was like wide-eyed. He didn't know anybody. Anyway, so we had just the greatest time with players. And you talk about having a meal. What's the day after, the morning after? What, a Tuesday they played. So Wednesday morning, I went down to the coffee shop, I think, early, and ended up having breakfast essentially with Ozzie Guillen. Yeah, very similar scenario. Ozzie was down there, and next thing I knew, he sat down either right next to me or at the next table, or yeah, you know, we ended up talking for a good part of that. It was one of the most fun times. 88, Rich, was an unbelievable sports year in things that we attended, because having living in Kansas City, you had the NCAAs were there that year, and Jan had gone to KU, and you know, KU put in that big run to win the. So we had tickets for that. I mean, 88, I saw a lot of great sports that year.
Yeah, and you know, it is fun to actually meet these athletes that are famous and, you know, to some degree rich. And, you know, one of the things that I learned from that period of meeting so many of the Bengals and the Reds, I met people like Boomer Esiason and Max Montoya and Tom Browning and Paul O'Neill. And of course, Pete Rose used to come out all the time to serve
yeah,
part.
But, say the least.
But these guys were normal people. They were very nice. And, you know, I know the perception on professional athletes is you're spoiled brats and selfish and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the impression that I got from meeting so many of these players and coaches was that, I mean, they're just normal people, and their occupation just happens to be playing a game, whether it's baseball or football or whatever. But they're just normal folks like you and me. And, you know, the ones I met were not arrogant, you know, a-holes, but they were actually really nice, down-to-earth people. So
no doubt.
You know, it gives you a different view, I think, of what the players are like, because I know they get ripped left and right in social media and in the mainstream media, but most of these guys are just normal guys, and just, you know, with an abbreviated career, that's another thing. These guys, they have a shelf life, and when their talents start to erode, well, they retire or are forced to retire and move on to other things. But they're really, most of these guys are really great guys.
It's so much harder now with, you know, with the cell phones and you know, with the way in which, you know, the public, you know, they're under scrutiny, you know, literally every minute. So there's very little, you know, very little room for error. But I you know, on a private basis, I ended up going back to Kansas City, and we got friendly with Charlie and Corinne Liebrandt and what's his name, the catcher who became a manager. I'm going to forget his name, and his wife, and Jan had a girlfriend who dated Willie Wilson. Yeah, I mean, if you are in proximity to them in a private, you know, in a private sense, you know, and you meet them on equal footing as opposed to, you know, the fan scenario, you're right. It's, you know, it's funny. You mentioned, you just made me think of something else too. You mentioned Tom Browning. In 88, I was in town, and my buddy Doug Wagner from the Warsaw Falcons, we went to Tom Browning's perfect game, which was in September
for the Reds. Yep.
against the Dodgers, and that was a crazy situation because it was rain delayed. That game didn't start till like 10 o'clock at night. Because yeah, Cincinnati, they literally never would cancel a game with that plastic field. They'd let the rain end. They would wait, and whatever time the game started, it seemed. And in fact, Doug and I and his wife, Patty, we drove to Lexington to pick up Patty's daughter, and because it seemed like the game was going to be canceled. And as we were driving back to Cincinnati, I spun the dial to WLW, and there's Marty and Joe. Well, they're taking the tarp off, and we're going to get this started in about 20 minutes. It was like, are you kidding? It was like 9:45. And so we dropped Patty and her daughter off at the house, and Doug and I went back to the riverfront. And I had waited, Rich. I had sat through so many near no-hitters. That I was so desperate to see a no hitter. Phil Niekro at Shea. I saw Phil Niekro enter the ninth. I was at Riverfront when Mario Soto gave up that home run to George Hendrick. He had gotten 26 straight outs at Riverfront and gave up a mammoth home run to George Hendrick after being up 0-2.
Oh my goodness.
Never forget. And then finally, I saw Tom Browning pitch that perfect game.
You know, I got a funny anecdote with Tom Browning. When one of the times that I met him at the racetrack was, you know, back then was kind of the early days of rotisserie league baseball, and I told Tom that, you know, you're one of the best pitchers on my rotisserie league pitching staff, and he kind of laughed and said, "I think you're in trouble, Rich." A little self-deprecating humor, you know.
He's a big guy. That same era, we're going to have to go, but that same era guy that I got to know on that team was Joe Price. Remember Joe Price?
I think he was like a lefty reliever or something.
I think he was a swing man and spot starts as well. I think he came from the Giants or he ended up on the Giants. But Joe Price, I met him at January's actually, or at maybe at the precinct. I loved living there as much as you did. Rich, great to get the year started, and we'll talk Santa Anita next week.
Sounds good, and again, I can't wait for the NAC to see you and all the folks out here in Vegas. We'll have a lot of fun over at Bally, that's for sure.
Without a doubt. Rich Eng, everybody. Rich Eng for ProPick. Rich's analysis for Southern California for Santa Anita. They'll pick up again tomorrow as the race weekend starts. And Rich Eng can be found at RaceDayLasVegas.com. Thanks to Rich and Tony Alivato from NYRA on the Fox Belmont story. And, of course, Sean Clancy and Tony Black and Graham Motion. And Mike Stidham to pay tribute to Mrs. Abercrombie, as well as the visit from Jeff Canizzo to do the same for Susie O'Kane. Back tomorrow. Weekend preview, everybody. Good luck today. Sam Houston Race Park. Safe meet for everybody. Good luck. Talk to you in the morning.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.